Well, it's been a busy week, hasn't it? I want to say this up front. Like most of the world, we were very happy to hear this week about the progress on the vaccine for the coronavirus. And our prayer is that the good test results hold true over the broader population, that production can be ramped up quickly, that first responders and the most vulnerable can get priority, and that America and the world can put the fear and the oppression that has been a part of the experience of this disease and this pandemic in something like a rearview mirror in the not too terribly distant future. Now, when we say that, you know, there are many who say that's at least a year away total by the time it gets through the entire population, but there is an end in sight, and we are grateful to God for his blessings through our scientists and those around the world who've worked so hard on this. I think we have to also acknowledge, and I want us to keep in mind over the year to come, that for all the families that have lost somebody, the recovery from this pandemic is going to be a much slower process. As a pastor, I'm pretty aware that there are going to be a lot of deferred memorial services to take place when all of this is more behind us. We have a long way to still travel together throughout the pandemic. And a part of our passage today in Colossians 4 is really about what it is to travel through life together. On a hopeful note, as I think about it, when you ask people, what do you look forward to getting back to? What do you miss the most when the COVID-19 pandemic is mostly over, when it's mostly behind us, when it's more manageable? What's the thing you're looking forward to doing again? And the responses are wonderful and they are varied. People will talk about family celebrations. They talk about dinner parties with friends. They talk about their community life, their church life. They talk about going window shopping, going to movie theaters, Broadway shows, sporting events. It's a long list. And one of the things that's on a lot of lists, including mine, is being able to once again enjoy traveling and seeing our country and seeing the world. I'm looking forward to that. I've told you all the story a few times, mentioned we had a lifelong kind of a three-week trip planned, you know, a lifelong goal, you know, to go to Italy back in May, and I don't have to tell you what happened to those plans. I don't know if we'll ever get back to that particular itinerary, but I am looking forward that once COVID is done, that there'll be an opportunity to get back to enjoying this world that God has created and all the people in it, just as we saw in the video a moment ago, the different peoples around the world. Look forward to getting back to that with my travel partner. Paul's going to talk about his. I want to talk about mine for just a minute. My key travel partner, my favorite travel partner, is, of course, my wife, Mary Beth, MB, as some of you know her. You may not know this. Our first actual date, because when we met, I was recently back from Brazil and she was dating another guy and just had kind of wait that one out, you know? And our first actual date ended up being a trip from Roanoke down to Mount Rogers in Virginia, their highest mountain in Virginia, and back again, about an hour each way, and then this long hike. And if you've never been to Mount Rogers, the distinguishing characteristic is you go through a rhododendron gap, and you can see rhododendron in bloom for miles and is absolutely stunning and beautiful. So we went on this trip together. Now, it was our first official date, but we actually established on that trip a travel habit that became a tradition for us for quite a while, as long as we could hold on to it. We stopped into this small country store. We were talking about the need for some snacks. You know, we'd thrown some drinks in a cooler, but we thought, yeah, let's pick up some snacks. We stopped into this little country store, and they didn't have much on the shelves, but a few minutes later, we walked out with two items that would, for many years to come, would mark our travel times together. We would get combos. You know what those are, right? Little pretzels stuffed with peanut butter or cheddar cheese. My God, they got one now that says pepperoni pizza. I cannot imagine. But the cheddar cheese and the peanut butter, those were the things we would go for. And then we found this thing called plantation brownies. and another health food. You see where we're going with that, right? We were young and skinny and thought that this was a great thing to have with us on our travel trips. And throughout the early years of our marriage, whenever we were vacationing or would take a holiday trip back to see our folks, we would get combos and plantation brownies. It's a great memory. A great memory. Good traveling companions create good memories that carry them forward through the good times and the bad. Speaking of traveling companions, I don't know if you've heard this one. Ship went down in the ocean. Three guys get on a little boat together, right? Little survival boat. So these three guys are out. They're stranded in a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean. They go several days without food and water when all of a sudden one of them spots a bottle bobbing along in the ocean, and they reach out and grab it. They open it up. They pull the cork. A genie appears. You can tell this is not a Bible story, right? Okay, so a genie appears, and the genie says, "I'll give each of you one wish." And the first man says, "I just wish I was home," and poof, he was gone. The second man said, "Oh, I just wish I was home too," poof, he was gone. The third man looked around, he said, "Man, I feel kind of lonely, I wish my friends were here with me," and yeah, you get it, right? Yeah, think about it. If you haven't gotten it yet, chew on that one a little bit. Friendships, traveling companions. And so let's turn to our Bible passage for the day. We're on the book of Colossians. We're in our last message in the series we've been working our way through for several weeks. In this 2020 study, we're going to wrap it up today by looking at Paul's list of traveling partners, traveling companions, chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Now, find that, please. Have your Bible open. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Here's why. Because normally I read you a passage and then we go back and dissect it. But because he's really talking about a list of people, I'm just going to give them to you a little bit at a time. So I'd love for you to have the passage open in front of you. And while you are finding Colossians chapter 4, I want to extend to you an invitation about next week. If you've ever had the thought cross your mind, I know very few of you, but if you've ever had the thought cross your mind, I wonder what it'd be like to have a church service without a sermon. Next week is for you if you provide the sermon. But here's how. It's much easier than what we normally do. We want to invite everyone in our extended church family and friends who are watching. We know that COVID, one of the hassles is you don't get to see each other. And as Jonathan mentioned a moment ago, on our Sundays here, you see the music team, you see the preacher of the day, whoever's reading scripture or prayer, but that's about it. We want you to be able to see one another. So what we want you to do is, and I'm going to walk over here, I don't know if the camera can follow me or not, but all you got to do is take your cell phone. It's not like it's complex. Most of you use cell phones all the time. Turn it horizontal, not vertical, horizontal. Shoot a 30, 45 second video, and all you got to do is kind of say the phrase, "This year we're grateful for," or "I'm grateful for," and say it. And give a shout out to the church family. Make sure you tell us who you are, all right? So say, "Hi, I'm Jason. This is my fam." You can introduce the fam. And then what we're grateful for this year is, boom. And if we get 15 or 20 of these things at 30 seconds apiece, then we're just going to replace the sermon with your messages to one another and celebrate God's goodness. That's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, next Sunday. So shoot your video, send it in by email to us here at the church. You can send it to all of us, our first initial, last name. So C. Robinson, K. Stauffer, E. Williams, J. Durr, any of those folks, you go to the church website, all of our emails are there. Just send us your clip. Got to send it. Now, this is the important part. You need to send it by Wednesday evening. That gives us Thursday to assemble them and Friday to fit that into the rest of the service, okay? So please, we invite you, share what you are thankful for this year. And in the spirit of today's passage, if you want, you can talk about the people you are traveling through life with, right? This is what it's about, what we are grateful for that God has given us, family, friends. Maybe there's a particular neighbor you want to go and shoot a video with your buddy next door. You can do whatever you want to do. Just keep it short, and we'll use as many as possible next week. If we get too many, then we'll use them in other settings. Technically, watch out for your sound if you're shooting outdoors, but we hope you will feel free. Shoot it at work if you want, if that's permitted. Some of you work in places that don't allow that. Shoot it in your home, in your favorite room, you know, and tell a story, whatever, all right? But email it, get it in by Wednesday night. Okay, now, today, if you've had time now to find Colossians 4, verses 7 through 18, we're going to look at Paul and the stories of him and his traveling partners, the qualities that Paul considered helpful and a blessing in their lives, and the words of instruction he had. So let's see if they'll resonate with you and me as we look at our traveling partners and think about what God is doing in our lives, all right? So this is important, I think, too. I want to say this before I get to the actual scripture, is these stories kind of remind me. You know how at the end of the news, they always have one human interest story. They tell you about somebody. And in the COVID time, many of the networks have gone to featuring every day at least one story of a family or a person either that's been lost to COVID or how they've come through COVID or how they've bonded together and found support. Those stories are powerful. They are meaningful. And just a word of just caution and reminder, you know, they tell us these stories, and we're losing about 1,000 people a day in America. Those stories are being interrupted. Stories are being cut off. Some are lost forever once these folks are gone. And the warning is that the number of deaths in America may double over the next couple of months. Folks, please be careful. Please be mindful of one another. Take good care. And that'll help you understand why we here at the church are still asking you when you come here. We practice social distancing. We wear masks. We do all those things out of concern and love and care for one another. So the tragedy of lost stories, here's the thing. God preserved these stories for us from Paul's traveling companion. So let's look at them. We're going to look, the first one is Tychicus, or Tychicus, depending on how you want to say it, verses 7 and 8. And here's what Paul writes. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Wow, I mean, that's a lot about one person in two verses. It's a great resume. A dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant. I mean, if you think about somebody's tombstone, to have that written on your gravestone, those three are pretty heavy duty and a real blessing. Dear brother, that means somebody who's loved. We all want to be loved and have the opportunity to love. It's great to be loved by your church family. He says, you're a dear brother. I don't want you to miss this. This is so sweet. He says, this is a faithful minister. Faithful meaning trustworthy. And this is so important, brothers and sisters. Paul says, Tychicus is coming and he's faithfully going to deliver the news. He is going to bring trusted information. He says, I'm sending to you him for this very purpose, that you may know our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. That means he was a trusted messenger, a trusted communicator, able to do some very important things, to convey information accurately and to encourage people's hearts. Have you ever known anyone that you could not trust to deliver a message accurately? I remember when I was growing up, one of the games they would teach us in youth group, and then later I saw it played by adults in different Sunday school class parties and others over the years. You ever played that game called telephone? You sit in a circle, one person has a story they're going to tell, usually 3-4 sentences long. But the thing is, they don't tell everybody at once, and they don't say it out loud. They whisper it in the ear of the person next to them. And then that person does it to the person next to them. And of course, everybody's missing something. The last time I played this game, I was next to a woman with a hearing aid. Just imagine how tough it was for her to hear and then communicate. And as I recall, my message to the next person was, I have no earthly idea what she said to me. I think that was kind of where we summed it up. And this happens. There are people who get news and they pass it on. You think, that doesn't sound like what I heard from a different source. It doesn't bear any resemblance. And hopefully in a game setting, it's really funny. But when you're talking about what Paul is talking about here, Paul's in prison. He's sending a messenger with news. This is an important thing. These people in Colossae, they're worried about poor Paul. I've heard he's in prison. Yes, he's in prison. I've heard he's sick. I've heard he's dying. I heard he gets beat every day. I mean, what's the truth? What's really going on? It's not like they can call him up. And so Tychicus is entrusted. He said, look, he's going to bring you all the news about me. You can calm down and you can be encouraged because Paul sees what God is doing even while he's in prison. And Tychicus is going to faithfully communicate that to them so that they can be enlightened and corrected and encouraged. He's going to faithfully do that. That's a great word about this traveling companion. That's the kind of companion you want. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can I just say to you and me, this is incredibly important for us. The accurate verbalization of information is rapidly turning into a lost art in our world. We no longer develop early and well the talent of deliberate, careful listening. And that makes all the difference when it comes to retelling. For the most part, when we hear somebody recount an event, when we hear somebody relay somebody else's words, the truth is we've learned to take it with a grain of salt until we can confirm that for ourselves. In far too many cases, what we hear from day to day is either incomplete or just out and out inaccurate. Do I need to say we know that false stories from both sides filled our election cycle? It's so painful. And why am I going on about this for you and me as believers? Well, brothers and sisters, here's the truth. Most people outside of Christ will never hear an accurate accounting of their need for repentance, the turning away from sin, their need to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died and rose to life again for them. They will not hear it unless they hear it from the mouth of someone they know really cares about them. Because when you really care, you communicate accurately. You listen better and you retell it more accurately. And if you and I, brothers and sisters, let's own this, please, because nobody else can own it for us. If you and I cannot accurately articulate the message of the good news, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the church is truly dead to this world in regards to effectiveness in our mission. This is what we are here for. And we can see an example of it in Tychicus. Just like him, we need to be confident that when we get an opportunity, we can accurately convey information and encourage hearts. For us to clearly convey the message, the encouraging news that Jesus has won the victory over death and sin and the grave, and we can receive life, eternal life. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that Christ brings change and life, abundant life to us. So may we be like Tychicus. May we be trusted and trustworthy. All right, look at the next one. Onesimus, found in verse 9. He says, he is coming, meaning Tychicus. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. and they will tell you everything that is happening here. So Tychicus, he's trusted and trustworthy to Paul, but he's not known to the people at Colossae, but Onesimus is. And so Paul sends them together. My friend that you know will encourage you to trust this other friend that you have not yet met, but who is faithful and trustworthy. That was the role that Onesimus played, to vouch for Tychicus. Now, we know from other Bible passages, if you want to do a search, you can do that. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had been owned by a fellow by the name of Philemon, and he'd run away, but then he'd been converted. And although he is a ministry partner for Paul, Paul is now sending him back to Philemon, not just to send him back as a slave, but to send him back with a letter that now is in our Bible all these years later, to be a witness to the church that was there. Here's the fact, folks. God is able to do amazing things in your heart and your life regardless of the painful circumstances you're passing through. So Onesimus has not had an easy life, but his name, Onesimus, you know what it means translated? It means useful one. And God is finding this one who has endured pain and slavery and suffering, but has now had his life changed by Jesus Christ. He is useful to God and to Paul. And he is delivering the letter to the Colossians with Tychicus. He's delivering a letter to Philemon. He's a blessed brother. Here's what we can take to the bank. God often powerfully uses those this world has hurt and disregarded. And I say that to you today because you in here, and some of you watching online, you may be saying, oh, I'm sure these guys were great guys or they had it all going. No, they had suffered. And what you have suffered does not disqualify you from being a messenger. It should empower you even more. What God is able to do in spite of us, what God is able to do to heal us and then give us a message to share, this is the amazing work of God. And Onesimus, Paul's traveling partner, serves as our example. All right, time will get away from us, so let's move on. Verse 10, the next one is Aristarchus. Aristarchus. He says, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. We'll get to Mark in a minute. Let's focus on Aristarchus. My fellow prisoner sends you his greetings. Now, you might think if Paul would start just do some bragging about Aristarchus and how he's walked alongside him, and there's so much that has happened that Aristarchus has been a part of. I'm kind of thinking that Aristarchus and Paul, they've been through so much together, it's kind of like guys and gals who serve in the same military units. You know, once they've gone through some things together, they're not really sharing those stories with outsiders. It's a bit of an insider thing. But Paul knows that a number of these folks will have heard the stories of him and Aristarchus. Now you might say, well, I don't know. I don't remember that name quite so much. Well, let me remind you some things they'd been together. You can go back and look this up. Aristarchus was one of the guys who was dragged off with Paul and others to be tried during the riots that took place in Ephesus. You remember they disrupted the trade of some of the idol worshipers there. And it really made you mess with people's pocketbooks. They get mad and they were going to, you know, hurt them. And he was one of the guys right along with Paul who was hauled away. When you read in other places about Paul being in shipwrecks, guess who was there with him? Aristarchus. Yeah, they found some of that leftover wood, grabbed onto something, floated their way along until they finally were able to land in Malta. But they spent days and nights, the Bible says, in the ocean together. That's a bonding experience, folks. That's a bonding experience. Aristarchus is also now, we see, in prison with Paul at the time of this letter. Now, when he says he's a prisoner with me, I do want to be clear, we're not for sure that he was a prisoner with Paul because the Romans had him in prison. Paul often uses this same terminology to talk about somebody who has voluntarily stayed alongside him while he is in prison. So he becomes a fellow prisoner. So we're not sure which it is. Whatever the case, whether he was under arrest himself or whether he just refused to leave Paul's side, regardless, Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner. Paul says, he's my fellow prisoner. He's to be commended for his faithfulness to his fellow soldier. It was interesting to me as I was reading this earlier this week, it was Veterans Day. I don't know, different families have different traditions. One of our family traditions, and not every year, but a lot of years, we will watch a military movie. We'll be reminded of the sacrifices that veterans have made, of friends that they have lost. One of the real popular ones is the one Band of Brothers. You seen that one? It's been out a while now. I think originally an HBO series, really outstanding. People, oh, that's a great phrase, Band of Brothers. Well, it didn't get started with the TV people, right? It comes from the very well-known quote, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother." No, that's not a Bible quote. That's William Shakespeare. But it is a very famous word spoken about what the experience of going to battle together, going into war together, fighting together, what that does to unite people's hearts. And what Paul is saying, between me and Aristarchus, we've gone to battle for Jesus together. We have put it all on the line. We have risked our lives. We've had each other's backs. And folks, this kind of brotherhood he's talking about should be characteristic of all believers. It shouldn't be surprising that we share a church building with a Brazilian congregation or a Latino congregation. That shouldn't surprise people that we've had Asian congregations. That should be a trademark. We're going to war together. We are with Jesus together. And all believers should put away the squabbling and the fighting and the division that we so often witness between Christians. And I'm not going to re-preach last week's message. You can go back and watch that. But I just want to say this part once again. Burning relational bridges with fellow believers over earthly politics is a mistake. And it is a confusion of priorities as far as the gospel is concerned, and as far as Jesus is concerned, and as far as the mission that Jesus has entrusted to his church is concerned. That's our lesson from Aristarchus. In the same verse, he mentions Mark, right? He says, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Why would he have to kind of repeat that? Why does he kind of have to say, well, now when Mark comes, I know you've already heard some stuff. What stuff is he talking about? Well, we know Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, but the presence of his name here is especially good news. Why? Because the Bible tells the truth, even when it's not pretty. And if you go back to the book of Acts, you will discover Mark there in not so good a light. What we discover is that they were getting ready to go on a mission trip and Mark bailed on them. The word Paul used is deserted. Remember, he used to use this military picture of Band of Brothers with Aristarchus, and now he uses it with Mark. He says, Aristarchus has got my back. Mark deserted. That's what happened in Acts. But now he's here in the book of Colossians, and what that tells us is there's been a healing. Because you see, when Mark abandoned them, it created a rift between Paul and Barnabas. You remember? Later it becomes Paul and Silas, because Barnabas and Paul had a fight about Mark deserting them. You see, once we bring division and rift, and if the story had ended in Acts when they had the division, when Mark deserted them, if that was the end of it, it would have been tragic for Mark and for Paul and for the gospel. But what we see is, as we keep reading through the Bible, Paul says, Mark is a blessing to me. He calls him a fellow worker in Philemon. And he says, he's a great help to me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you all to hear me, brothers and sisters. This is so important. Sometimes even we pastors, because we are not immune to hurt and to pain and distrust, sometimes we in the church are just a little too quick to write somebody off. Especially if they've let us down, somebody maybe in a leadership position even, they've failed us or they've hurt us in some way. But here's the good news, God does not give up on us. God calls for repentance, and repentance is a second chance. And then he calls for repentance, and sometimes it's a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. And that's what's important for John Mark. That's why his name is so important to us here. I believe God wants us to be so much more supportive, more forgiving, more willing to help people recover from their failings and their mistakes than we typically are as a church. It does not come natural to most of us to do that. It's a spiritual work of God. You might remember, I've told you all this before, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is over in Peter. Peter's talking about Paul. He says, he's a trusted brother. I don't understand half of what he says. Peter was an uneducated fisherman. Paul was a well-trained rabbi. And basically Peter said, sometimes he speaks in complex ideas that I just don't get. And so you might think, so what use is Peter to Paul? Well, here's the use. When John Mark, that's who we're talking about, need to be restored, whose ministry did he go under? The answer, Peter. When he deserted Paul and no longer traveled with Paul, he later ends up under the mentorship of Peter. Why would that be important? Because Peter himself was no stranger to failure. You remember? He denied Jesus 3 times. He kept messing up. And every time Jesus was able to restore Peter. And I think when Mark got on the outs with the other religious leaders who were kind of hard-nosed, and Paul could be hard-nosed, it was a blessing that he had Peter to turn to, and later he returns to Paul after Peter has helped restore him. And that's why I want you to remember this, brothers and sisters. It is easier to be compassionate with somebody who has blown it when we remember the second chances that have been given to us. Can I get an amen? Amen for me. The same grace that I want shown to me, that has been shown to me, given me a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, how much we need to extend it to others. Okay. Well, time is quick, so let's move on. We got just a few more quick glances here, quick names that pop up. In verse 11, we see Justice. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So you can understand, in the early church, it might be a bit challenging to be called Jesus. And so he's going by his nickname. Perhaps it is his Latin surname, Justus, which means righteous. We aren't told anything else about this guy anywhere else in Scripture that we can find. But what we know is, Paul tells us right here, one of the few of the Jewish believers who became followers of Christ as Messiah and stayed with Paul and encouraged him. And then we come to verse 12 and 13, Epaphras. Now, Epaphras is mentioned several times in this letter. One of you, a servant of Jesus Christ. You see, he was a teacher at the church in Colossae, and he had become so concerned about the false teachings that people in that congregation were beginning to follow. And he had gone to talk to Paul. He had taken that word to Paul. But when he went to Paul, he didn't say, I'm knocking the dust off of my feet and forget that group of people. He went to Paul and he said, how can we address this? How can we help? Paul writes this letter as part of that answer. But it also says that Epaphras was laboring earnestly for them, intense intercessory prayer, praying for them. And notice, he says he sends greetings from Epaphras. Epaphras is not going on this trip. He's still with Paul at this point, all right? And he said, look, he may not be coming back to you right now, but he's still working on your behalf. And all I can say to this is, pastors, deacons, elders, teachers, fellow church members, we can all learn from this guy right here. He had a heart for his church. Oh, oh, oh. He had a heart for his church, and even when they couldn't gather together physically, he was praying like crazy for them, laboring on their behalf. Can I get a witness that that's what COVID can do for us? We have a chance to live into this verse, to be prayerful for one another, not just for what happens in this room, not just for the usins, but for all those who cannot gather, the scattered sheep praying for one another, those who are ministering in their neighborhoods. This is how we demonstrate deep concern and love as being a part of the church family, by continuing to pray on each other's behalf. Then we come to the name Luke, and you can relax for a minute. You say, oh, finally, a name I recognize. Luke, that physician, that doctor who would be an instrument of God to write one of the four gospels. And as a man of detail, like every doctor should be, he's the one who writes the gospel that has all those details you love to tell stories about in the Christmas story. He's the one that writes the longest story, all the stuff, but all the characters that we like to retell. Several of the gospels don't include all those details, but Luke, he was a man of organizing, getting his brain, writing it all down, the detail. And just imagine this, for Paul as a missionary who was always getting whooped up on, how great is it to have your own doctor traveling with you? Everywhere Paul went, people were stoning him, chasing him around, whipping him, putting him in jail, and having Luke as a medical partner and as a spiritual partner, it was a great encouragement to Paul. And then the last one we're going to look at today, same verse, verse 14. Our dear friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. He goes on to say, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters of Laodicea, to Nympha, the church in her house, and some other people he greets there. But we're talking about Paul's traveling companions, and so this last one is Demas. I hate to end on a little bit of a sad note, but things did not turn out so well for Demas. His priorities got turned upside down. Paul would later write about him in the same way that Mark was restored, Demas took the other direction. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes, make every effort to come to me soon. He's writing to Timothy, right? He says, Timothy, I need for you to come to me, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. Demas did not keep his commitment to God nor to Paul. And even here in the Colossian letter, which is before the desertion happens, you kind of get this sense. There's not much said here about him. Compared to the others, when he says, faithful brother, beloved brother, trusted messenger, this, that, and the other, Demas sends his greetings. Also Demas, because he loved this world. You see, here's the thing. Demas, his name is going into the Bible. He's going to be remembered forever. Like these other folks who are Paul's traveling partners, this is your legacy you get to leave. And for Demas, it's this. He deserted me. And I think this is a good word for all of us. It's a hard word, but it's an important word. It's historically proven, brothers and sisters. You can spend a lifetime building up your reputation, establishing trust with people, demonstrating your character, morality, good behavior. You can win awards. You can develop a community reputation. And then in 5 minutes, you can destroy it all. We do well to remember this. Now, the good news, the positive side of it is that God, the Bible says, honors those who honor him, however imperfectly we may do it. So what do you want to be left behind from you? He deserted me, or he was faithful. When people write your summary, your gravestone, what's going to be the final message for you as your traveling companions think of you? I don't remember where I read this, but this one, somebody said this. If you think you are an important person, just remember this, that 30 minutes after your funeral, your friends and family will be cracking jokes over a casserole. And it just kind of tells you, you know, we're not all quite as important perhaps as we get in our own minds sometimes. But here's the point today. You see, with the pandemic, a lot of us have been more aware this life that we have is fragile. It could end tomorrow. And so the question we need to ask ourselves as traveling partners, as companions, as brothers and sisters in Christ, what legacy are we leaving behind? What stands out about our lives? What's the one thing people would say? And so I close with this question. When people remember you, will they remember Christ? That is our goal. We invite our musicians back up to sing our closing song. And I just want to say to you all today who are at home, when you're thinking about, well, how can I apply this message? As we approach Thanksgiving, it might be as you make your little video this week, or it might be a message you send, a card or an email to someone personal. I want you to reflect on who your traveling partners are, who your traveling partners have been, what kind of traveling partner you have been. Maybe you need to heal some things. Maybe you need to establish a new blessing in somebody's life. Appreciate the traveling partners you have in this life. Show it in your prayers for them. Let us show it in our prayers for one another as we travel together as the people of God at Pathways. Have a blessed week. I look forward to hearing from many of you as we move toward Thanksgiving together on this journey as traveling partners.